This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
And good morning. Welcome in to another fantastic Wednesday edition of The Blitz, live here on Fan Run Radio, FM 105.7 AM 1340, WKGN, Chance Collins, Charlie Collier, and GP3 back behind the booth for you for the next couple of hours. A hot Wednesday. So hot in the hot tub. It's hot out there, people. As they say in Tennessee, it's not the heat that gets you. It's the humidity, and it's definitely a humid one out there. But another great Wednesday in the books for us today as we get started right here. You know what today is, Charlie?
Well, apparently it's already in the books, so I guess it's not hump.
It's hump day! Hump day! Charlie, it's hump day. As Charlie stares through my soul over here.
Yeah.
Got a lot of stuff to get today. We got a big show lined up for you. We're going to get to our NFL preview. Going to start that today. Go through division by division. Get you locked in and prepared for the upcoming NFL season. Also some Olympic news. Even probably have some news from the Hill as well. How are you guys doing, though?
It's been a tumultuous.
Oh, big word.
Big word. Big word.
12 hours for me.
Has it?
As a Nationals fan, you know, I'm starting to deal with the possibility that.
I know she had breakfast this morning. I noticed I didn't have breakfast.
I noticed that it's still your fault because I told you all you need to do
is
text me.
If you're going to get breakfast, text me and be like, all right, I'm here. What do you want?
Well, I wasn't planning on it. I just popped in the shell right across the street. And all they had left was one bacon and egg biscuit and one just egg biscuit.
Which one did you get?
Bacon and egg.
You got to go with
solid.
The bacon.
Yeah,
who just gets an egg biscuit?
That's why I didn't get you anything.
Well, thank you for not getting me an egg biscuit.
But yeah, how pissed would you be if I just showed up with you? Here's an egg biscuit.
I would have thrown it in the trash, honestly. I would have been like, I'm sorry to be rude like this, but I'm throwing this damn egg biscuit in the trash.
I brought you breakfast before one time, too, and you didn't even eat it.
Yeah, that day I don't think I was feeling good or something. You brought me a chicken biscuit.
I think we're a little hungover.
You brought me a chicken biscuit. I couldn't do it.
But yeah, tumultuous last like 12-ish hours. The Nats obviously have made everyone available but Juan Soto.
Yeah, Max Scherzer on the block too. Ray's reaching out for him.
There are 14 teams that have currently reached out and are trying to get Max Scherzer. We're going to get a really good return there. I mean, that's kind of inevitable, which that one's sad. But it's easy to come to grips with because it's an understandable move. A 37-year-old on the last year of his deal, and you're not going to really be in a place where you want to re-sign him after this season. You know, might as well try to rebuild your bottom five in the MLB farm system while, you know, you're not competing this year anymore. So you might as well do that. It's going to be sad, but, you know, he'll retire as a Nat. He'll go in the Hall of Fame as a Nat. And then, yeah, Strasburg had to have another surgery, so he's officially out for this year. And he basically didn't really pitch at all this year or last season, so we don't really know what his future is like anymore. But, hey, at least he got a new card on MLB The Show.
Yeah, I saw that 97 overall, like,
wasn't even
milestones.
That good. I used it. Not great. And then Trey Turner, he's the only player on the Nationals, him and Juan Soto, that I don't want the Nats to trade. I don't think it makes sense to trade either of those. But we're apparently shopping Trey Turner, and the return that we would get would be probably one of the best returns for a trade in MLB history, I'd have to imagine, when you can acquire a 28-year-old superstar. But he got pulled from the game after scoring a run in, like, the second inning or, like, the first inning.
Really?
So everyone immediately started freaking out. He's getting traded. He's getting traded. And I was, you know, on the verge of a meltdown, basically, thinking that my guy was getting traded. And turns out he just has COVID. His test came back positive during the game, and they had to pull him. Mm. So, rocky 12 hours.
That's been a rough 12 hours for you. You okay?
I'm doing all right.
You need a hug?
I was about to have, like, full on panic attack last night.
I saw from a video I saw on TikTok that the Nationals organization has another player in their organization named Trey Turner. So even if you do lose Trey Turner,
you don't really lose Trey Turner.
Yeah, I think he's a single A pitcher or something like that.
Oh, that's perfect. I mean, they do basically the same thing. One has MVP numbers at the plate. One pitches in Triple A.
No, single A.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, single A.
Easy, buddy. Easy, buddy.
We'll get there one day. I was just being optimistic.
GP3, how are you feeling?
I'm doing pretty good.
You got your Austin 316 on.
Yeah. I've been
Austin 316 just kicked your ass.
I'm on a string of wrestling shirts.
Those shirts, you know, I don't know if you ever watched WWE Treasures. I've watched that on A&E. It's a pretty cool
show.
Yeah,
I've seen a few of those.
I've got a person that I know that goes to, like, different estate sales, yard sales, that looks specifically for old school wrestling shirts. And then he flips them and sells them on eBay, and they go for like $100.
Oh, I bet.
Like,
yeah,
the original ones?
Yeah, like the one with Austin where he's got, like, the rattlesnakes coming out of his arms. And
yeah, with the skull, like the blue and silver on it. Like, they go for a lot of money on eBay. It's pretty crazy how that market is.
Hey, you guys deal stuff on eBay?
Do you what?
Do you guys sell stuff on eBay?
I haven't in a while.
I have, yeah.
I have before.
I'll sell you a lot of clothes that have quite a bit of value.
What kind of clothes
Please
are we talking about?
Elaborate. Yeah.
Dress clothes, jerseys.
Are we talking like
athletic.
Brooks Brothers or?
Yeah.
Talking like mostly athletic clothes, like team or like team based clothes, jerseys. And I
like,
guess like
got
a little
some
bit
good
of dress
jerseys
clothes
in there?
Yeah, there's good jerseys in there. There's good everything.
Give me a couple. Any like vintage jerseys?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I have like, there's like four Heat jerseys. Tennessee jerseys, Nationals jerseys, Preds jersey.
Why are you selling all your jerseys?
I'm just getting rid of some of the stuff that you know, I don't want or need anymore.
No.
Because I just have too many clothes.
You're a big jersey guy.
Yeah, I mean, the jerseys are all players that have moved on, are not currently with their team for the most part.
Oh, okay.
But
I don't know how those are
the best money. The best money comes in like the hoodies and the t-shirts.
Okay.
Like the good stuff, you know.
If they're pretty good players, yeah. You might be able to flip those.
So I'm saying I'll sell you guys a lot of clothes for, you know, just one bulk price.
For one bulk price, okay. And we'll flip it all.
Yeah, and then you guys flip it and you guys will make a profit.
We make the money.
Oh, yeah.
We make the money.
I save the time.
Yeah.
You make the money.
You're delegating. You could even say you're, you're contracting it out.
Yeah, exactly. I'm giving you. I mean, really, I'm just blessing. I'm
contractor.
Blessing you guys with a fantastic
blessing
money making opportunity.
Blessing.
I would sell them myself, but I don't really have. I'm in the process of moving, and I don't really have anywhere to put them in the meantime.
Mm. All right. Well, maybe we'll talk more about that. You might have some stuff that I might like. I might be able to put it on eBay. Maybe GP3 might be able to.
Well, there. Okay, I'll send you a picture when I get home.
Did anybody watch the Olympics last night?
I tried to find.
I still don't know how.
I'm not even kidding. I was
last
sitting
night,
there before I went to bed, and I saw a tweet saying that U.S. was up. Like, they covered the first quarter spread against Iran. And I was like, oh, they're playing right now?
Let me go back.
I was like, let me go back. Let me go find where this game is at. I was trying to watch it. Went on Peacock. Couldn't find it. Went to the Olympic Channel. Couldn't find it. Went to USA. Couldn't find it. Went to NBC Sports. Couldn't find it. And I gave up. I was like, I'm trying to watch the Olympics, and I can't find the event I want to watch.
Blame you, NBC. I blame you.
I feel like the general assessment of this Olympics is that it hasn't been as good as it has been in the past. Who's that blame fall on? Does it fall on NBC for the production value for not, you know, setting it up in a more pleasing way for the viewer, not promoting, you know, the right stuff, not really creating the storylines as good as we have had them in the past. I don't know. Maybe.
I think it's all on NBC. That's where we're going to continue to place the blame. They didn't do a good job, like you said, marketing. There's no, like, storylines we want to watch, nothing compelling to pull us in.
I mean, I feel like every year they kind of create, you know, some major storylines,
yeah,
whether it was Michael Phelps, you know,
yeah,
chasing the record, or, you know, it was the young swimmer and Katie Ledecky last time. I feel like we haven't had one of those big stories yet. That
she did win gold?
Finally.
She won a gold last night.
She's been a disappointment up until then.
I mean, we all saw the story with Simone Biles yesterday, but it's been reported this morning that she's pulling out completely, even from all individual gymnastics events.
That is one of the big stories of the day. Simone Biles withdraws from individual all-around final. Hey, man, like, you know what? I know some people, a lot of people have came to her defense and shown her a lot of support, and I agree with those folks. And then some people have kind of like, why is she not competing? She won't compete for her. She can't just pull it out. But I get it, man. She is the GOAT in her sport. I think we can say that hands down. And they have manipulated the rules where they have told her the stunts that she does that are very complex and only that she can do, she cannot perform them because if the other contestants try to perform those stunts, they may hurt themselves. That's not her fault.
Wait.
That is the biggest pile of crap ever.
Is that? That's...
They won't let her...
Well, no, they didn't give her the difficulty points, but she performed one of them.
She was still performing them. She just didn't get the difficulty point boost
but, like,
or whatever.
They're taking points away from her.
Well, they didn't like take them away. They just didn't give all of them, I guess. Because
yeah, I don't know. Gymnastics is really complicated when it comes to scoring. But I don't know. There's a lot going on over there because she said that she had pulled out originally because she was hurting her team. I don't know. I don't know what the whole story is, and I'm sure more information will continue to file out.
No, but they absolutely told her that some of the stunts that she does would be a safety issue for other contestants.
Right. Yeah, no, I remember that happening, but I thought it was just they weren't giving her the bonus difficulty points or however it's scored. Not that she couldn't do it. It's just that they weren't going to like grade her on a different scale because – the other competitors couldn't do it, which I still think is wrong. If she's able to do something that everybody else can't, like
that's part of it.
I mean, this is the Olympics. It's the best of the best.
That's
kind of honestly, kind of sort of reminded me of like.
Can't help it, the other people suck.
Yeah. Like if you're going to the javelin toss or something like that, and I mean, you can, I don't know what the actual world record is, but say you can throw the javelin 90 yards, but the next closest person can only throw it 60. They're not going to say, well, got to make sure you keep it under 70. We, you know, if you go over 70, right, we're going to dock you some points. Like, it's just, it's best of the best. You train your whole life for this. And
she basically dropped out, though, because she was anxious and had mental health.
A lot of everything. She is the face of her particular sport.
Well, I mean, no, like, that was what she cited, though, was mental health. I don't know. Like, at the end of the day, mental health is important, and you have every right to back out, but having the right to back out and us respecting that right doesn't give you the right to not be criticized for it. And at the end of the day, you know, I feel like it's fair to criticize someone for not doing their job because they're anxious.
Well, it's not.
You know, I can't just call in, and I can't, you know, wake up and call Nate and be like, Nate, you know, I'm just feeling really anxious. Can I have the week off?
I could.
And Nate probably wouldn't. I mean,
Nate's too good of a guy. I probably could. But, like, in general,
take some time off, Charlie.
Like, you know, a doctor can't just call the hospital and be like, I'm feeling very anxious this morning.
That's a doctor,
you know, all my life-saving surgeries, just push them back a week. Like,
that's a doctor, though. That's apples and oranges. Like, I mean, like, it, you can say it's her job. Yeah, sure. But, like, they ain't getting paid. They get paid endorsement money. They don't get paid for going over.
She's rich because of her ability to do gymnastics well.
Yeah, because of her ability. Like, she doesn't have to compete in the Olympics.
Well, certainly not, but that doesn't mean her not competing, like, yeah, you have every right not to compete.
That shows you how good she is. They need her to compete.
Well, that just doesn't, I mean, that doesn't give you the right to be saved from criticism, though. And at the end of the day, I mean, you know, it's fair to be critical of someone that's dropping out of the biggest sport, or I mean,
the biggest
sporting event of their sport. when your team needs you because you're feeling anxious or, you know, you're mentally unwell.
And I would argue that what's the point of me competing if I don't get the full points that I should?
I think you're really hung up on the whole not getting the full points thing, and I just don't think that's the biggest reason that this is happening.
Well, why not?
What do you
mean? She can say mental health, but I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. She doesn't get the full.
I mean, you're just the only
points.
Person I've heard that is
that's not
that is,
true.
That
that's
is
not true.
Correlating
you have,
these
you have
two
not
things.
Been listening. Just Google Simone Biles or do it on a Twitter box search, and you'll see thousands of comments talking about, well, what's the point? You know, seriously, what's the point if she doesn't get the full amount of points when she's doing her routines? Her potential scores are much higher than her competitors, but they're not grading them like that, as you guys just
but
said.
But that just has nothing to do with her dropping out.
Why does it not, Charlie?
You're the only person that
I
thinks
am not.
It does.
You're a damn idiot if you think that's true. Freaking go to Twitter and do it. Oh, that's all they've been talking about on Facebook being shared.
On
Twitter.
Facebook, okay.
Oh, my God, Charlie.
Find me
just
one example.
Just because you're under a damn rock doesn't mean
find me one example of somebody of importance citing
don't worry, I will.
Not getting
I'll
the points.
I'll tag you in every single damn one.
I hope you do. I hope
I
you
will.
Blow my phone up. Please do it.
I sure
oh,
will.
Oh, please do it,
you're
Chance.
You're a damn idiot.
The shop is cool in the shed.
Welcome back to the Blitz. A little heated there.
And yet I just spent the entire break scrolling
through
Twitter. Not one example.
Don't you do it.
Not one example.
Let it go.
Leave it in the first
segment. I was going to come back and I was going to be like, I'm sorry for calling Charlie a dumbass. But now, I ain't sorry for nothing. I was going to come back and say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have did that. I shouldn't have called Charlie stupid.
I think the exact words were a damn idiot, but
I don't know, maybe I was thinking dumb.
I mean, it must suck though to just for me to scroll through Twitter and not see one mention of what you were talking about at all.
I'm not gonna argue with Charlie. Today, you know, some days, GP3, you gotta choose peace over petty. Right now, I'm choosing peace over petty. My Packers are back. We're getting the boys back together. Aaron Rodgers coming back. Devontae Adams coming back. Hey, and guess what? Today, Randall Cobb, Alcoa boy, coming back to Green Bay. One of Aaron Rodgers' favorite targets of his career. Coming back.
Hey, you
so
wanna,
I'm choosing peace over petty. 865.
You want a fun Packers stat?
8200. Let's go to the phone lines and take a call from T-Carp. T-Carp, you're on the Blitz. Long time no talkie. What's up, buddy?
Long time. The band is getting back together, Chance.
The band is getting back together.
All this to lose in the playoffs again.
Buddy, let me just talk to you about what happened in the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers hasn't had a guy to really throw to other than Devontae Adams. And if you want to say, oh, Valdez-Scantling or anybody else other than Devontae Adams, you're full of crap. Valdez-Scantling has dropped some major passes.
I mean, you've had some pretty good tight ends as other options.
Meh.
No, you wouldn't consider Robert Tonyan a pretty solid tight end?
He was okay. Are you talking about one season?
Yeah.
You've had Jimmy Graham
one
in the
season
past.
Jimmy Graham was garbage.
He had an aging Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham that was with the Saints or even with the Seahawks. I mean, I'm not going to say he didn't play well as a Packer, but he had an aging Jimmy Graham.
You couldn't rely on him. You couldn't on third and eight when you needed him to catch a pass over a linebacker. You could not rely on him.
Yeah, he wasn't the same Jimmy Graham that you know was a safety net for Drew Brees for a long time.
So my thing is, you've got an aging Randall Cobb, but you've got a Randall Cobb that can catch passes out of the slot, be that safety net, be that guy that can beat an inside linebacker, catch it and get down and protect his body and be wise.
And let's not forget the chemistry—the chemistry that him and Rodgers have. I mean,
since 2006, there are only two players in the NFL that have a higher passer rating when targeted than Randall Cobb, and that's only Devontae Adams and Rob Gronkowski.
How about that?
Nice.
But at the end of the day, it's still just an old Randall Cobb.
I don't see this move putting the Packers over the top. That's just.
I don't know if it puts them over the top, but I like it that the boys are getting back together. I like it.
I think it's a good move.
If Rodgers is happy.
What are you talking about? They were a touchdown away from getting in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think it puts them over the top. I mean, you guys are – I don't think it puts them over the top. They were literally a play away.
You had four.
Is Randall Cobb the guy that's going to make that play? I mean,
yes, maybe,
but Randall, he's also like a mediocre old receiver. Maybe he will. And at the end of the day,
he was mediocre with mediocre teams.
You have the Bucs that brought everything back. The Rams are now a much better team. And the 49ers are healthy again. Like, I mean, is Randall Cobb really the thing that puts you over the edge over those three teams?
I like
maybe.
Cobb.
And
I'm
at the end of the day,
Tart.
You still have Matt LaFleur as your head coach.
I like,
and he's just aggressively
Matt LaFleur's
mediocre.
A good head coach. He's
mediocre.
A lot better than,
very
mediocre. What's his name? Matt LaFleur is a much better head coach than McCarthy is over at Dallas. And
he's a much better head coach than Mike Vrabel.
Well, it's not hard to be a better coach than Mike McCarthy. But
he's not better than Vrabel.
You're just spewing ignorance if you think he's better than Mike Vrabel.
He is.
I would take him 100 times out of 100 over Mike McCarthy, and Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, okay? I mean, I agree with that. I don't think Mike McCarthy is good.
I don't
at
think
all.
There's anyone that you can find really out there that would take Mike McCarthy over Matt LaFleur.
Bingo.
That's like me saying, like, I'd rather drink, like, warm milk than, you know, like, warm.
I don't see the problem with Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur has got him to the playoffs every year, has he not? Am I incorrect?
Well, I mean.
Facts.
Yeah, he has Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, he has Aaron Rodgers, but he understands that Aaron Rodgers is not going to be there forever.
We had Derrick Henry before.
We had LaFleur, too.
Gave him a running game. I mean, Green Bay has a running game and a decent defense now, which is something they've never had.
But did LaFleur do that, though, or did they just build the roster better?
A little bit of both, buddy.
I disagree, personally. I think LaFleur is a pretty mediocre coach. I mean,
I think he's pretty
exemplified that in his year-long stint as the Titans OC.
I think the jury's still out on LaFleur. I think it's too early to say one
coach.
Way or the other. I think he's decent, yeah.
I think he dropped the ball in the championship game, obviously, the play before halftime, the fourth down when they should have went for it. And I'm a Packers fan. I mean, I think he dropped the ball a couple instances. But I do think he's a decent coach. I'm just excited the band's getting back together. I would definitely rather have Randall Cobb than Lazard or Valdez Scantling.
Me too, buddy.
That's just
me 100%. Too. Y'all be good. Good at conversation.
Hey, appreciate it, T-Carp. As always, 865-546-8200 is our number to get on our phone line.
Have we seen the details yet of the trade?
Yeah, we'll get into the details on the other side. But Phil, hold tight. We'll get you on the other side too, Philly. We want to give you the floor and not have to cut you off early. And good stuff from T-Carp. Everybody wants to talk a little NFL. Football right around the corner. We got, two more weeks before we have football every week here on out?
1 week.
1 week. Just one more week.
1 week.
Mm. We're currently in our last week.
Yes.
You can taste it. Love it. This is The Blitz, and this is Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to The Blitz. Rolling along here on Fan Run Radio. FM 105.7. AM 1340 WK. Welcome back to The Blitz. Couple minutes here as we hit the top of the hour. Knockout hour number one. Been pretty good. This is one of the first days that Charlie and GP3 kind of ganged up on me. They over there, agreeing today.
It's a rare force. Sight.
It's a force in here. A force to be
reckoned
with.
It's been a really argumentative day. There's
that's good some days.
A lot of tension.
That's great some days. You got to love it.
Nothing wakes you up in the morning like just full-blown arguments.
A little competition, a little
open
debate.
It's just hard being right all the time, though. That's my biggest problem.
That's Charlie's biggest problem, if you have not met Charlie yet.
Biggest problem.
I have been thinking about this more, by the way, GP3.
What's that?
I was a little too aggressive when I was talking about the Titans' offensive line comparing the Chiefs. I still think that Nate Davis and Roger Saffold are excellent.
Oh, you
the Chiefs and Titans' offensive line are really comparable.
You were like, "What are you talking about, Charlie?"
I've been thinking about that for weeks now. I was like, "Man, I really was arguing with him pretty heavily," and reflecting upon it, I realized that you were a little bit wrong.
GP3, as a Titans fan, was like, "I like the Titans, but their offensive line's not better."
I know. I still think our offensive line's better, but when I was just like,
why are we doing this?
I just wanted. I was just thinking about it. You know, I can admit.
Switch the focus.
I can admit.
Feels
when
like
I'm
he's
wrong.
Won two conversations so far today. He wants
yep.
to.
No, I just. Yep. I can admit
bring
when
up
I'm
another
wrong.
One. So
I can admit
bring
when
up
I'm
another
wrong.
One. Hey, speaking of maybe being wrong, I think I was wrong on who I have predicted to be quarterback over on the Hill, but from a source, and you know, tell you for what it's worth, I've heard that the coaching staff is enamored with one Joseph Milton III. And that's right. And this source has said that he's definitely going to be the starter. Definitely going to be the starter over there on the Hill. So we'll take that for what it's worth. We'll see how it pans out. I feel like it's a pretty good source.
Oh, lucky number 7.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Milton, though. And you brought up in the break that Josh Heupel even recruited him at Missouri out of high school. So there's a connection there. He has the frame. They've talked about how he has the big arm. He has the size. We know that he can move a little bit too outside the pocket. He's got some speed on him. So maybe he will be that front runner. That's what the source says. Said look for Joe Milton to start for the Vols. I guess I'm kind of still on the Captain Hook and maybe even Brian Maurer being a dark horse, but it seems like those.
I think it's over for Brian
Maurer.
Yeah,
I think he's
going to
transfer.
Yeah, I think he's.
He didn't get a lot of talk at SEC Media Days. I know that they put up that graphic, and then they did say, hey, we have four quarterbacks in the quarterback room, but at the same time.
I could see maybe they use him like a Taysom Hill with the Saints, though, because with how athletic he is.
I said that a couple weeks ago. Put him in the slot.
Yeah.
He's got speed.
He's athletic.
He's got size. He's very athletic. Let's make him a slot receiver. Zach Rogers, Josh Williams, I think maybe it was his name back in the day.
Logan Thomas. I mean, I know he's a tight end, but he was a quarterback.
Ryan Tannehill was a wide receiver, quarterback, then wide receiver at Texas A&M. Then back to quarterback once he got back to the NFL. Do something like that. Let's keep these athletic guys on our roster if we can.
If Joe Milton is our guy, man, I hope that we've developed him a lot better than what he showed at Michigan because, yeah, he has the size. Yeah, he has the raw athleticism, but he didn't do a great job reading defenses at Michigan, and his footwork is abysmal. The amount of times he threw off his front foot, like, just completely, like, up on his front toe and then just threw it low at the receiver's knees.
Mechanics.
I mean, his mechanics are bad.
Yeah, I hope that can get worked out.
If we're enamored with him after about a month and a half, he better have the best quarterback coach of all time last offseason, wherever he was just doing his own training. Because, I don't know. I don't see how you could already be that enamored with someone that showed what they did at Michigan.
But past relationship, this is a guy that's been on Heupel's radar, a guy that he has wanted. So, I mean, that's kind of where that probably starts. And then they think that likely, if I'm just predicting how they think, if he is going to be, you know, somebody that's leading the clubhouse as a starter, they think that they can fix him, you said.
I mean, Milton has potential, don't get me wrong, but his arm strength.
Would you say he has the best potential, though?
No.
I think he's got the highest ceiling.
I do, too. Yeah.
I
didn't even think that was really debatable.
With Harrison Bailey being a close second. But I think
I would still. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, you're
there.
Good. I was just saying. I think he's got the high ceiling. Bailey with a close second. And
I would
Hooker.
still put Bailey ahead of.
Okay.
Fair too. I mean, I get that argument.
Yeah, I mean, Bailey. We all just agree he just needs to improve his arm strength a little bit.
Yeah.
Milton, I just
put
feel
a little
like
zip on that ball.
Milton, I just.
I think Bailey.
He throws the ball weird. He doesn't really throw that clean of a ball. His footwork is all out of whack. You know, he has the tendency to short arm it sometimes. I worry about Joe Milton.
865-546-8200 is our number. Let's go ahead and go back to the phone lines really fast before we end hour number one. Take a call from Josh. What's up, Josh?
What's up,
boys? Blitz.
What's up, boys?
What's up?
So this is my first call, not on voluntary action.
Okay.
To anybody. So I'll try my best not to screw it up and keep it PC.
Yeah, we're on the
it's not on the real radio.
It's not on
we
the
can
app.
Get in actual trouble for saying bad things.
Oh, I understand that one because every time I call,
voluntary reaction. I'm borderline blackout. So.
Hey, you're not blackout this early, are you?
I'm hungover because I'm working from home now. I just got a new job, and I'm working from home right now. So.
Hey.
Hey, it gives me the opportunity.
That's a life, man. I work from home, too. I know how it is.
It's really the only question because I just called in on a whim. So how many games do you think will win the football team at least?
I think 6-6 is the, 5-7, 6-6 is the floor. I could see them winning going 7-5, but I'm going to say 6 games.
I think the season really hinges on that Pitt game. If you win that game, then it sets you up to be able to really have a better year than you anticipated. And I think if you win that Pitt game, I think 7-5. But if you lose that game to Pitt, 5-7 is not out of the question.
Yeah, I think 6-6 is likely what will happen. But
I'm picking 7-5. But
my expectations are 7-5, but I would predict 6-6. Two different scenarios for me.
So you have to pick one, Georgia, Florida. I'm not even going to say that one. No, I'm not saying fan. You had to pick one that we might win, or at least the closest.
The closest out of like your Georgia, Florida, Alabama's?
Florida.
I would say Florida, just because they're trying to replace Kyle Trask, Kadarius Toney, and Kyle Pitts with Emory Jones, who I don't believe in even in the slightest. And this is the first year that Dan Mullen's really going to have to win with his guys instead of the guys that he's brought in via transfer or that were already there for him.
Yeah, I think it's definitely Florida.
Yeah, out of those teams, it's got to be Florida.
Not that we're going to beat Florida, but I think that you have the best chance against them, talent-wise.
Yeah, you don't have the Shark Humpers.
The thing is, though, is with this style of offense we're going to be playing now, it actually sets you up to where you could upset a couple teams potentially. And you're not going to be better than them, but with the way you play, you can pull off the upsets. That was never going to happen with the way Pruitt played ball. But with this offense, I mean, that's completely possible. You almost saw Ole Miss do it to Alabama last year. So I think, beating Florida is realistically on the table for the first time in a long time.
So all I've heard about, because whenever I've been driving a lot, because it's kind of like a hybrid scenario. So all I've heard about, because I know – Pitt's one of the most important games because we start 1-1 or 2-0. Is their defense as good as I think it was Davey talking about how good their defense was? Is it up to what they are stating?
Florida's defense?
No, Pitt.
Oh, Pitt's
defense. Pitt's defense. Honestly, from what I've seen from Pitt, there's nothing that scares me about their defense, but there's nothing that makes me disrespect their defense either. To me, I think Pitt's biggest asset is their quarterback. I think they have a veteran quarterback and Kenny Pickett, and he's a guy that, you get into our secondary and past Delonte Taylor and Jalen McCullough, there's a lot of question marks. I think he'll be able to kind of slice us up a little bit that way and kind of surgically just do some work against our secondary. We're going to have to score to keep up with them.
We'll have to score in every game. Just about.
We're going to have to do a lot of scoring this year. So hopefully it works out.
Yep, that's about it. I am a little hungover, so anything I'm thinking, it's coming out. So.
Well, get yourself some water.
You need a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, maybe a Bloody Mary too, honestly. And maybe pop a couple ibuprofen and enjoy your day. Thank you for the call.
The dog. Appreciate the call. As always, Josh. 865-546-8200 if you want to get on with us in hour number two. Hour number two, we'll get back into some of that Tennessee basketball news. We really didn't jump into the Tomba news from Knox Catholic, so we'll break that down some more. We'll also get into our NFL previews as we kick it off with the AFC South.
East,
AFC East today. So stay tuned right here for that. And we might even hit you with a little fact or fiction. Hour number one's in the books. Hour number two is on deck.